This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and today on the show, we are going to be talking about Tantra, and a lot more than Tantra. We're going to be talking about relationship and love and how to make relationships last and how to make them grow.
I think a lesson on communication, because we all need it. We didn't grow up in a family where communication was done well. Perhaps some of them were holding back, some of them were yelling and screaming instead of talking. So communication that opens the heart and treats each person as a friend. Otherwise, you feel that you are secure, and it is a lie. Actually, isn't that more exciting if you don't know, let's say, the person that you're calling can come to their date tonight or not? When you are secure, so you are kind of predicting it, and the passion of the expectation is kind of gone.
My guest today is a terrific love coach and intimacy guide. Her name is Carla Tara. She's an internationally acclaimed teacher of Tantra, which she calls the art of conscious sensuous living. I love that. a lifestyle that honors lovemaking as divine communication. Carla's background is as a psychotherapist, a yogini, and a relationship counselor, and all that contributes to the strength and creativity of her work as a coach to individuals and couples. She's taught Tantra abroad and throughout the United States, and she has hosted Tantra Today on the Voice America Radio Network. In New York, she has taught at the Jain International Center, the Inner Light Center, the Sufi Center, the Learning Annex, and the Health Expo, and also at the One Taste Community. She currently teaches Tantra workshops at the New York Open Center and at her own Ohana Tantra School in New York and in Maui. And she has just written a terrific book called Lessons from a Tantric Tango Dancer. Welcome to the show, Carla.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so grateful that I have a chance to share with people my insights about life and love and Tantra and everything that interests me and makes me feel very happy.
Well, I read the book, and you definitely have insights to share. So I was wondering, we talked before, but perhaps we could start with a reading from you, the reading that starts with both Tantra and Tango, right? Yeah.
Both Tantra and Tango. Oh, wow, I like that passage, too. Okay, let me read it for you. Both Tantra and Tango require discipline and focus and offer the pleasure of deep, loving connection along the way. We learn to dance through life consciously and to persist when the steps are not smooth as we would like to be. Commitment to the path makes you even clumsy, makes you go through clumsy moments full of beauty. The key is to keep coming back to awareness, to an awareness of the now, to stay present and aware, even in difficult times. A mind that can stay focused in a meditative sense is a mind that's enlightened. Some people sit in meditation for hours, hours at a time, to achieve this deep focus. I chose Tantra and Tango as my path because my temperament is not inclined to sitting meditations. I like meditations in motions. And I'm sure you can find a path for you that dance that turns you on while you polish the divine diamond that you are. So I really feel touched. I almost have difficulty reading it because I'm going through the emotions that I felt when I wrote it. And I just, I think that's the best that I could say with words to explain how much Tantra has touched me, has changed my life, you know, from a very restricted environment where I grew in, very old-fashioned and sex-negative. So, Tantra brought me to the other side, to the complete different side, to the side of the 21st century where you are on the verge of discovery most of the time. I'm living in the constant discovery of life. That's what it is right now for me.
Now, let's talk a little bit about that background. You in the book, you really are quite revealing about your childhood and your relationships with your family and your breaks with your family. Could you just sort of give me a little brief?
Yeah. I grew up in a very ignorant family. They didn't know how to love. And my mother believed in very old Catholicism, saying that touching yourself is a sin, and that if you touch yourself, you put nails in Christ's body, that kind of thing. Really horrible. And as a little girl, I had a difficult time choosing between feeling my own sexual energy coming up and choosing, you know, to put nails in Christ's body. You know, that's horrible. Anyway, my consolation was nature, so I went out a lot. I touched the flowers. I was speaking to the cows, you know, that kind of thing. I really grew up in the Alps and the mountains high in Italy. And but then, you know, when I was 13, my brother, I was there pasturing the cows. My brother, who was 18 and probably repressed like hell, came and abused me sexually in the woods. I ran home crying. I told my mother about it, and she didn't hear it. She just dropped her mouth open. Like, stuff like that doesn't happen in my family. And there was no support for me from nowhere, so I left the house, and I ended up in Germany, you know, in a family full of books where I could really study, and I started seeing a book on Tantra, and that's been more or less what's happening. But when I started to heal myself from the pain of abuse and being abandoned in a way and having to run away from home, when I did that, I was feeling that psychotherapy didn't help me enough. So I was knowing the difficulty, I was knowing how painful it was, but I didn't actually move the pain that was there until Tantra. So Tantra goes beyond talking to touching, to connecting, to going deep into the other person's soul. And when I started doing Tantra, I realized that I could forgive my mother. I wanted to really understand her and see why she did that. And I spent 10 days with her, practically listening to her and asking her how it was in her childhood and all of that. And in about 2 days, I found out why she was afraid of God, her father, she was afraid of her father. I understood everything about her. And then I kept mirroring back to her what I heard her say, and she goes, wow, you really understand me. I was just using communication skills that I've learned, you know, she could never had the chance to learn. And so she opened up more and more, and then I felt inspired to remind her of that day where I told her that I was abused, and I described the scenery, I described everything, and when I came back, and I told her, I said, do you remember, Mom? And her eyes opened, and she started crying, and she says, yes, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what a gift.
Yeah, and Cinnabus. And but before she even told me, to very, very importantly, she told me, you know, when you were born, when you were conceived, your father had just come from tasting some wine from the priest, you know, and he never drank anything. So he was feeling so relaxed, and she enjoyed sex for the first time. And so she felt guilty that, you know, a child came in when she was pregnant, when she was having fun, and she was afraid that I was a child of the devil.
Wow.
Yeah, that far back, yeah. And when I said, why did you believe that? And she said, yeah, well, you know, when you were born, you had big eyes and no flesh on your cheeks and skinny, you know, like really small, and you looked like the devil. Yeah, and it was like, at that moment, I felt so sad for her.
Yeah.
Because I know already that I am a goddess. So she can believe whatever she wants right now. I'm not a child. But to go to that space of how deeply religion had convinced her that pleasure was devilish.
Yeah.
It was incredible. If she knew the job I'm doing right now, she's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she doesn't have a television, so but who knows, if she found out, I don't know how she would react to this. She believed the pleasure was of the devil, and I believe that pleasure is the greatest gift we give back to the divinity, to God, Goddess, who gave us this beautiful body to feel pleasure, to feel the spirit. If you are just spirit without a body, how can you feel making love, touching the skin, you know? So we are actually serving God, Goddess, by having pleasure instead of pain.
There's a quote I like from one of the early popes who said, what God was not ashamed to create, we should not be ashamed to celebrate.
Exactly. Exactly. This is wonderful. Yeah, so this is my passion and my work. And especially to see that some people still live with beliefs that are not corresponding to reality, and they are not aware of it. They believe it so deeply, they think that's their reality. And when they come to me, as you know, like couples come to me sometimes because they are almost splitting up, you know, they wait until the last moment and they want their marriage resurrected. And I said, yes, we can do it. You know, if you want, we can do it. You need to learn a completely different way of communicating than you're used to. And you need to take time to hold hands, look into each other's eyes while you're talking to each other. And when you feel angry, you can take away the hand and say, I'm sorry, I'm angry. I want to disconnect for a moment, deal with my anger, and then I'll come out and connect again. That's how you can take care of all that garbage that you put under the rug during the marriage because you didn't even want to deal with it.
Wow.
Take it out, piece at a time. Let's like take a look at it, right? Yeah. And having the skills to, you know, tell a couple, for instance, tell him when she is talking, let her finish, unless she goes on and on and on, and then make a signal with your hand that you want to tell her back what you heard so far because it's becoming too much for you to remember. So you say, okay, so far I heard this, you know, and it's very wonderful because then the woman in this case telling him something important goes, yeah, I told you that, and I forgot to tell you that. And she keeps adding to it until the picture is complete. Whereas if he just listens, you know, to the end of the story and it's half away, it just starts tuning out, then she is not really heard. She doesn't feel understood. And he was sitting there looking at her, but he didn't interrupt when it was too much for him to handle. So I start teaching them stuff like that, and they do it, and they first they are afraid. Nobody wants to start. But usually the woman starts because she's less afraid of her emotions than men usually. So once she goes and she's ending whatever she has in her mind to say, he says, thank you so much for letting me know that part of you now. I'm so happy. My love can be bigger now for you because I know more of you. And so that's kind of, then it's his turn, and she's asking to ask him, how do you feel having heard of that, having heard all of this? And then he tells her, you know, I felt perfectly all right. You saw the truth as I saw it. Or he can say, well, I saw it this way instead. And then she is hearing him. It's a really beautiful way of respecting each other and to get to know what's going on inside without having to defend.
I love what you're saying, and I want to take a pause here.
Sure.
I want to pause for a moment and give a chance for us to support our sponsors and our sponsors to
sure.
support us. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. I'm talking to Carla Tara, who is a love coach and an intimacy guide and a Tantra teacher. As we go to break, I just want to remind you that many of the advertisers on this program offer special offers to my listeners. So please go to the website, go to the personallifemedia.com, and look at my episode pages, Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and you'll find some ads there. And if they ask for a promo code, well, you might want to try the word love, L-O-V-E, or if you're looking at the Tantra Chair ad, you might want to try the promo code F-R-E-E, free, and there'll be lots of really good deals for you. So please pay attention to the sponsors and go check out the offers on the episode pages, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Expanded Lovemaking, a weekly internet audio program and podcast for men and women on Personal Life Media. Get advanced techniques that expand your lovemaking bliss.
We're back. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. We're talking to Carla Tara, who's a love coach and an intimacy guide and a tantra teacher and the author of Lessons from a Tantric Tango Dancer. When we went to the break, you were talking a little bit about couples and communication, and I want to stay on that a little bit because the book deals quite a bit about relationships and about what kind of goes wrong and what goes well. And I was really caught by some of the phrases that you wrote. A thing that I saw in your book that I immediately sent to my wife, you said, love means letting go of the illusion of security. That's a big thought. I thought, in a way, that the reason I choose my wife and we get married is to grab onto that illusion of security, not to
let
go of it.
Wow.
So why do I need to let go of it?
Otherwise, you feel that you are secure and it is a lie. Actually, isn't that more exciting if you don't know, let's say, the person that you're calling can come to that date tonight or not? When you are secure, so you are kind of predicting it, and the passion of the expectation is kind of gone.
Yeah.
Right? So this is very important. And also, when you go home, you get to know a different wife, you know, because she went through another day. And who knows what she has learned that day. Make it, you know, I'm not talking to you, Chip, because you probably already do this. You teach this stuff. But many people do not talk to each other after the first year. They think they're out. They no more to talk. You know, we are talked out.
My wife and I often notice how many couples at restaurants are sitting at beautiful restaurants in beautiful surroundings with lots of great food around them, and they're not saying a word to each other.
Yeah.
They're not looking at each other. They're not speaking. And we think, oh my God, what a sad way to live.
How sad it is. Exactly. Whereas you remember when you went out for the first date, you will not even look at the person coming and say what you wanted. You were looking to each other's eyes. You were talking and talking. So the person bringing you the food came two or three times before you could order.
Yeah.
You were talking so much. Now you're there staring at each other or out around with no intimacy. It's like closed. Really closed off to each other.
So, but isn't, okay, so first, I think security is kind of a superstition. I don't actually really believe that we are secure. I have never met the human being that gets out alive, you know?
You're absolutely right, yeah. So letting go of that and letting go of the expectations together, they go together. I don't expect.
But I get a little confused because in the same paragraph, in the same book at least, you have a great line. You said, you have to learn to trust who you dance with. And this play between I have to give up security, but I also have to trust.
Well, I didn't say how you live the whole life together, just dance with, dance that dance fully as though it lasts forever. But it doesn't, at the end of the dance, you just say goodbye and hello. You know what I mean? It's done. The dance is finished. That moment is finished.
So it's something about trusting the moment. It's something
trusting
about
the moment. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not about predicting a future.
Exactly.
It's more about really being fully present in the moment, in the experience.
Yes, yes, yes. You got it. Yeah. I should have, you know, I could have, forget should. I could have explained it more. One of my, difficulties in the English language is once I say it, I'm so glad that I found the words to say,
right.
Then I don't want to expound on it. I move on to the next one.
Well, I read the book quickly, but I have to say I think you express yourself quite well. So listeners, as you're listening to this author be a little modest, I just want to say I think that there are a lot of gems in this book.
Oh, thank you.
So we're still talking about relationship, and
sure.
you do a whole lot about relationship and breathing.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about breath and relationship.
So perhaps the audience will know when you meet somebody and they kind of hold their breath and they're closing their mouth and they're stiffening up their shoulders, they're holding their breath. They are afraid of being seen or connecting with you. So once they take a breath and they realize, you know, the mouth opens a little bit, the heart opens a little bit, you're breathing down in your belly. You're breathing, the belly is kind of relaxing enough to go down and practically caress the sex center. So the whole body is involved in the breathing, not just the top of the lungs and you lift your shoulders to breathe. It's the whole mechanism of breathing sets in motion, the diaphragm is pushing the belly down towards the sex center. The urogenital diaphragm pushes the diaphragm down towards the sex center, caressing it. So when you talk to a lover, you talk from the whole body, not from your head, from the neck up. You talk with the whole body, and you know that sometimes what you feel deeply in your guts is not what you're thinking. So Tantra gives you this breath, this surrendering breath, this relaxing breath, gives you a chance to integrate the knowledge of each energy center, the belly, the power, the love, the heart center, the throat center, which is the communication center. All of them kind of are into an alchemy or transformation, understanding what they want to say, and then they say something that the whole body means. And that's breathing. That's conscious breathing. When you do conscious breathing, you're connecting on all chakra levels.
And I think if I read what you were saying correctly, there's a it's sort of like in our shallow breathing, we actually create separation.
Yes. Yes. You said it very well. In the shallow breathing, we create separation. Yeah. That's right.
And so I noticed, like, you know, before we even get to communication tools, this is what struck me about this is that you're really advocating that there's a place to just breathe with each other and just drop into sort of our genitals and into our belly,
mm-hmm.
and that from that place, even the thoughts we were having the moments before will change.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's an alchemy, the alchemy of love and breath. I would suggest that the body is the, you know, the physical reality that is more dense form of energy,
mm-hmm.
and the breath is much more refined form of energy, so much so that you cannot really grab it, you know, and you cannot separate it. You see that? When you're
mm-hmm.
breathing, you're not separate. When you're breathing consciously, you're one. So when you are a lover and you touch the person that you love, the heart center is involved. The heart is sending down energy through the arm into your palm, into your finger, and before even the hand touches them, they are already flooded with love from your intention and the heart sending it down. And so that's really what we are. And even if you are not touching and you're just looking into each other's eyes, you can very touch each other's energy field just through the look.
I noticed you took it a step farther. You also talk about that if you're experiencing sexual dysfunction, that this actually may be one of the things to unlock that.
Wow, you read that part too. Good for you. I mean, I thought, oh, it's just at the end of the book, nobody's reading it. I'm glad you did. The sexual dysfunctions come because we are, you know, the person who is having sex and a premature ejaculation, kind of, let's say, one example,
mm-hmm.
they are up in the head figuring out what to do. How can I make her come? Instead of just being there and breathing with her and see how she invites him in and how fast or how slow she wants to go to that orgasm, right? But
mm-hmm.
if it's up, it's like making love with a computer, with a head thinking, instead of making love with the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you're breathing consciously, you practically know how that woman in that moment wants to be touched. Not how she wanted to be touched yesterday. It might be completely different. We are in different space, different time. And so even if you remember exactly where to go to get her off, forget it. Make believe you don't know it. Find out. See where the energy is taking you. That's what I'm saying. Then the dysfunctions disappear because then you take in the energy of the woman, even if you don't have enough, and you build a bigger energy field around the two of you. It's not just your head, your penis, it's the whole body.
And then I noticed you added into that a whole piece about that the deeper you go into truth, the more that you're willing to actually express what you're thinking and feeling, the higher you go into ecstasy.
Absolutely. If you can imagine a tree, you know, the tree has deep roots, it's also very high branches. You know, the branches can only go as deep as the roots go. So if you leave your body to go into an ecstasy trip, that's fine, enjoy it. But then you have to come back to a body that you need to transform to stay in that space, right? So you need to grow the roots and the power to stay in your body no matter what goes through it without getting attached to anything and without making a big dramatic explosion about anything. It's like, oh, this is coming. Oh, let me see how I feel. I can accept it. Now, let me see how I can do something about it. Oh, okay. But first, you need to accept what is here before you can do something about it. Otherwise, you do something about it that might be even worse. Taking that moment to accept what comes, the balls that life is giving us there, and not our free choice is how we're dealing with them. Yeah. So that's definitely true. And the more you open up deeply, so if you hold grudges, for instance, that space is taken up by grudge. If you release that grudge and if you say, I'm really resentful about this, the moment you say that, something opens up. But you don't say it right away. You say it first with a preamble. You say, honey, I have something to say to you that will actually deepen our love once it's expressed. And I really need you to just listen to it and not defend against it if you think that you're involved with it. I don't think. I mean, so I'm expressing how I feel and what my interpretation was. But if you feel guilty and you want to defend, don't defend yourself. Breathe. Stay with me. Hear me fully. That's all. I want to be heard. Okay? So isn't that a beautiful...
Very beautiful. And, yeah. And I know it's much easier to say than it is to actually do, that this takes practice.
Yeah. Practice.
I want to pause for just a moment here again to give a chance for our sponsors to chime in here. Also, just want to remind you listeners that if you have comments or suggestions about future shows, you can always send that information to me at chip@personallifemedia.com. That's personallifemedia, all as one word, .com. You can also call in suggestions and comments to our voicemail, 206-350-5333. Please know that if you call us, that leave us your name, leave us your phone number or your email, mention my show name so that we make sure we get it for the right show, Sex, Love, and Intimacy. Leave your comment or question. And just know that when you leave messages on our voicemail system, that implies that we have that we're able to use those messages for promotional materials later on if they're nice messages. So we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to our sponsors and then come on back because we've got a little more to do. And don't forget, we will end with an exercise from Carla. So come on back.
Listen to On the Minds of Men, Uncensored Sex Talk with Dr. Lori, a weekly audio program bringing the best in sex therapy to your life on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. We're talking to Carla Tara. She's a love coach, an intimacy guide, a tantra teacher, and has a recent book called Lessons from a Tantric Tango Dancer. We've been just kind of talking about everything here. One thing I wanted to touch on before we left, you used the image of Eve from Adam and Eve as kind of a metaphor for innocence, for knowledge. Can you talk a little bit about Eve and who Eve is to you?
Yeah, I just wanted to do something different from the interpretation of the church that Eve is a bad person. She was the temptress, you know. To say I see Eve as a very exciting person because she wanted to know the whole of life, not just what God wanted her to see, the good, the smiley, and all the perfectness, but everything. Because God said, don't eat the fruit because then you will be you will be part of the knowledge also of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably said, okay, I just want to know that. You know, and that's part of who I was really when I grew up, because my mother wanted me to become to go to the convent when I was 6 years old, because she says, go to convent, because while you're still innocent, you know, God loves innocence. She was afraid that once I developed my sexuality, I would turn into a devil.
Right.
You know, see, that's why I rebelled. And I said, no, I don't want to go. No, I want to experience life. And I was, so I identify with that part of Eve who is a rebel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, says, no, I want to know, even if it is bad, what I need to know. I just, I came to this life to experience all of life, not just the white shade. You know, it's I want the colors to be dark and white also, both, you know, not just one little gray or just white.
Yeah, but I noticed there's a quality of Eve in your book that's not about really defying God. It's more about trying to find the God within.
Then she does, right? Once she sees that there is the good and the evil, what she does is she says, oh, God, now I'm going to use this knowledge to go deep into myself and to find out who I am. And then she finds those qualities, the qualities that I'm describing in my book,
mm-hmm.
the quality that of curiosity, the quality of forgiveness, the quality of love, of expansion, all those qualities are what makes her a complete person, because at the end of the book, you see how all of this brings to a balance between male and female inside of us. The male that wants to explore all the time, the female that wants to be just there, like the ocean flowing, always being in the same place, but the waves keep moving. The ocean stays what it is,
right.
You know? And all of that, and so like Eve finally found her completion. She was no longer rebel. She started off kind of as a rebel, but she moved towards wisdom and then balance.
I could talk to you just all day, but we are running out of time. So if people wanted to get your book, or they wanted to do a workshop with you, or they wanted to learn more about you, how could they do that?
They could do that coming to my website, and it's www.onetantra.com. The one is number one. So one. Tantra.com, one being in number form.
Mm-hmm.
And I have everything there. They can look in on like workshops, private sessions, they can sign up. They can read my articles. They're free. There's lots of beautiful clarifying articles, question and answers. I'm going to come up with the with a book on the ocean breath, an ebook, and also a video on keeping yourself healthy and vibrant in just 25 minutes a day of exercise that I've invented using spiraling exercises. They are incredible. I haven't done the video yet, but it's ready as soon as I have the money to do it. Yeah. So I'm constantly creating. I really love this part of my life where I say to myself, I'm not afraid of people, what people think. I am wanting them to see who I am, and to see all of it, not hide anything from them, because that's an inspiration.
Yeah. Terrific, just terrific. Now, I always like to leave my listeners with something they can do at home, an exercise they can do at home. And listeners, I just want to say, if you do get this book, one of the things that I really liked about the book was that I think every chapter ended with exercises. And
yes,
so,
yes, it's called lessons.
I'm a behaviorist. I don't want to just get the knowledge. I want to actually, I want to put it into behavior, because that's how I really learn. So for me, that was a really good thing, and you listeners might find it good also. Anyway, Carla, how about an exercise or a lesson that listeners can try at home?
Yeah, I think a lesson on communication, because we all need it. We didn't grow up in a family where communication was done well. Perhaps some of them were holding back, some of them were yelling and screaming instead of talking. So communication that opens the heart and treats each person as a friend. So this practice, this exercise that you're doing now can help you deal with conflicts and share matters of common concern in a positive way before they escalate into major problems. So let's say we call one person person A and the second person person B. Okay, it doesn't matter if it is the man or the woman presenting what they need, just a neutral person A. There is something I would like to tell you so I can deepen my love for you, says person A. It sets the space for, don't be afraid, I'm not going to leave you. This is why we're sitting down to talk. And person B, please tell me. Then person A, I have been avoiding sex because I'm feeling resentful about some of your behavior and wanting to punish you. B takes a breath because that's a very powerful statement and feels she wants to deepen my love and her love for each other. Let me hear her out instead of defending or being angry that she wanted to punish me. So he is a smart man. I hope it is a man here. And he takes a breath and he says, thank you for telling me that. Is there more you want to tell me? A, yes. I just realized that I'm punishing myself as well, and I'm no longer wanting to do that. I would feel that you consider my feelings if you call me when you know you are going to be late for dinner. So all she wanted is for him to consider her feelings when he's going to come home late for dinner. And give him a call and say, you know, honey, tonight I have to work overtime. I'll be home 2 hours later. Please eat if you're hungry. That's common courtesy. And she feels neglected if he doesn't. So now he knows. Next time, he's going to remember it. And that's how they will heal the relationship. He will say then, he will say, I will do that. A, how do you feel knowing that I wanted to punish you? She wants to know because mm-hmm. she said a big thing. And B says, I feel happy that you told me. I noticed you were avoiding making love with me, and that confused me because I could not imagine the reason for it. Now that you have told me, I feel relieved. You have made a conscious decision to tell me, and that inspired me to give you what makes you feel loved. I feel how this honesty game works. May I invite you to tell me if something is bothering you as soon as you notice? And she says, yes. Isn't this beautiful?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing because then they remain there. Not only did she admit that she was feeling angry, mm-hmm. That she was feeling resentful, when he heard it, he just knew that it took courage to just say it and that she wanted to deepen the love. So he takes a deep breath, moves beyond wanting to react to it, and stays with the heart open to continue the conversation with her. And then at the end, she's so happy that he accepted that, she's asking, how do you feel that you heard that? Are there residual feeling of sadness that I wanted to punish you or anything? And that was beautiful because then it gives you an opportunity to go deeper into yourself. What about if there was something left over of resentment, and then they would say, what can I do? Then she would say, what can I do now to assure you that I love you and I want to deepen my love to you? And I'm sure that he would have found something right away.
Well, I want to thank you for being a guest. Oh, first, just about that exercise, I just want to say to those who listened and thought, well, this sounds kind of familiar, I want to say that this is also in the tradition of work by Marshall Rosenberg, the nonviolent communication.
Yes.
It's a little in the tradition of what's called active listening or sometimes reflective mm-hmm. listening. Mm-hmm. And the reason there are so many versions of this thing is it's just an extraordinary exercise. It's just an extraordinary way to communicate, particularly feelings that we have some fear about or we have some energy on. So, Carla, thank you so much for making this time. You're a delightful interviewer, and I really appreciate you being on the show.
I really appreciate how you interviewed me and the presence of your spirit and how much you really are into relationships and helping people. And I feel it from you, so the people who are hearing you are really lucky.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I mean it. Thank you.
And thank you, listeners. This is brings us to the end of another show. I really appreciate your support, and please listen in again for our next show.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.